All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I know some of our audience has slipped away to hear about a virtualization system called SAP, and that's great. The whole free, libre, open source software world is wide and varied. But now, Grant, one of the people behind Ask Ubuntu is Ubuntu Ohio's very own James Skipper. He couldn't be here today. But I should mention, he is one of the instrumental people who helped underwrite our table for tomorrow. And he was one of the instrumental people in helping boot up Ask Ubuntu. He couldn't be here today. But, Mr. George Castro of Canonical from the community team is here. And he's here today to talk to you about making the most of Ask Ubuntu, a great community resource. Heck, you might even see me floating around there asking the strangest questions about ARM and trying to answer ARM-related questions. But now Mr. Castro will tell you about something that has to do with Stack Overflow. Give him a hand.
Awesome. Thanks for coming to my talk. I really appreciate it. I know OpenStack and Ceph is an amazing combination, and you should really be at that talk. So when you get home, make sure you check out Ceph and OpenStack. Especially Ceph is pretty cool. It's a clustered networking file system, and it's pretty amazing. And I'm in the process of setting it up at home, and it's pretty great. I'm going to be talking about askubuntu.com. Just out of curiosity, let me take a quick survey. How many of you have heard of this site or have stumbled upon this site? How many of you have used Stack Overflow before, or a developer have ended up using Stack Overflow, or server fault, or super user? Okay, all right. Awesome. So it ends up that there is actually pretty decent internet here. So I can go through my talk, and then we can do examples. We can kind of do whatever you want. Feel free to interrupt me at any time, or yell at me, or throw stuff at me, or yell that I'm wrong, whatever. Because it's like 3 o'clock and like it's getting late in the afternoon, so let's at least have a good time. So who am I? Why should you listen to me? Why do you care? My name is George Castro. I live in Michigan. And I've been involved with Ubuntu since 2004. First as a community member and now work at Canonical. I've given multiple talks here at the Ohio Linux Fest. The first Ohio Linux Fest I went to had like 200 people. So it's grown a lot. And I'm really glad I get to be a part of it. So I'm fortunate enough to get to work on free software every day and work with people like you, users who not only go to a Linux conference, you go to the stuff the day before the Linux conference. So a bunch of the stuff I'll be talking about here, I like to call advanced common sense. But don't think of it as something that you would apply to yourself. Well, you should, I think, apply it to the stuff you do every day. But yeah, I think it's important as the kind of people that come to Linux conferences, and among your group of friends, you're probably one of the technologically savvy people. So a lot of this information also applies for those people. So feel free to spread the wealth on doing this stuff. So one of the things I like to do on my spare time is help Ubuntu users. Obviously, I've got a lot invested in this operating system. It has like my blood, sweat, and tears in it and all this kind of stuff. And it really sucks when something doesn't work right. And although we take pride in trying to make the user-friendly Linux, at the end of the day, for a lot of people, it's still very complicated. And even for nerds, it gets kind of complicated. So getting an answer to something on the internet sucks. The best way to get an answer, so let's say you buy a laptop that's not from System76, and you open it up, you're like, sweet, I'm going to do it this time. I'm switching to Ubuntu for real all the time. Load it up, everything, get it all fired up, you log in, and the wireless doesn't work. You're like, oh, God. So I really hate that, so I'm always trying to help people. So I found myself doing a lot of user support on the side. I started to learn a few things. And us, as a community, as a project, we tend to punch our users in the face. A lot. Let me count the ways in which. So you got your laptop, wireless doesn't work. You post on a user mailing list. It sucks because for some reason, we think that doing user support over email is a good idea, and you post on the list, and then you get flamed by some guy, and then your group is arguing about who violated the code of conduct for the next 45 posts, and you have to check your mail, whatever. Internet forums, I'll get to those in a minute. Some of my not favorite things on the internet. Just Google it. This is one of my favorite. My wireless on this laptop doesn't work, and you just Google it, and the top results are people with the exact same problem, and a whole bunch of people trying to figure out how to get the wireless to work, but they can't figure it out either. That's my favorite. I love it when people tell me to Google something, because I go and I find the first result, and I'm like, this is what I returned. Some article from 2007 for some out-of-date version of Slackware or something. It's like, thanks for helping me out. Ubuntu Wiki, another amazing piece of user interface that makes our users hate it. Wikis in general, I think, are pretty good. Obviously, Wikipedia is one of the most popular projects in the world. Our wiki has some issues. I think some of it is software related, but every time I try to use Ubuntu Wiki, I want to quit the project. That's how terrible it is. Not the content itself, but like just the software itself.
Wikis are where information goes to die.
Yes. So another awesome place where I go in there and just want to delete half the things I see. It gets better, and by better I mean absolutely even worse. The manual someone tells you to read sucks. So it's like, you suck for coming in here and asking us a question at our user group because you didn't read the manual. And then someone eventually figures out and says, has anyone actually checked the manual to see if it's like up to date or anything? It's not. It's probably a piece of crap. Like sometimes I wonder, like, you ever wonder why these like Linux Unleashed and all these books and stuff are really popular? This is why, because the manuals suck. Read the man page. This is my favorite. This is my favorite thing to tell a new user. Just kick them. Just kick them in the knee instead. You'll be doing them a favor. This is my favorite. You read the man page, so you say man command, and there's no man page. You're like, okay. Even worse, my favorite man page I've ever read in my life is I did man command. And then it actually said, this man page does not contain any content. This man page is actually here in order to conform to Debian policy.
Yes!
I swear to God this exists. You guys think I'm making it up?
Which package?
No, lots of them. So Debian has a policy. You cannot put a package in Debian unless it has a man page. And people didn't want to write the man page, but they want to be in Debian. So they actually made a blank man page that says, policy says I have to have a man page. Here it is, with no content. That is awesome.
Yes.
I'm gonna make a t-shirt out of it. I think I can make a lot of money on that. My favorite, so you're Googling, you're like, okay, I'm gonna get the stupid wireless card to work. You always end up with some guy's out-of-date blog, right? You can always tell, because it's the WordPress theme that was popular 2 years ago, right? And you're there, and then you read through it, and then you're like, okay, I think I can get this to work, right? And then you look in the comments, there's a bunch of people saying, you did it wrong, doesn't work anymore. Oh my God, step 7 deletes your data, don't do it. You know, but by then it's like too late. So I hate that, that sucks. Why didn't you search this site? This is my favorite, especially on internet forums. They're like, how dare you ask this question again when it's obviously indexed so well that you can just find it, right? So you're like, okay, fine, dude. You click on search in the forums, right? And there's always like some CAPTCHA you gotta fill in because it's rate limited, right? Because we can't figure out how to stop spammers, right? So you put in a term and then you return and, you know, like, oh crap, it doesn't let me search the actual forum until I register and make an account. Okay, fine. Da-da-da-da, wait for the email to come in. Da-da-da. Oh, thanks, you emailed me the password over plain text. Thanks a lot, forums. You know, finally you get in and you're ready to search. You search for the wrong thing and you're like, okay, maybe I can refine my search. And then you refine it and it's like, sorry, you know, you have to wait 35 minutes in between searches because we can't figure out how to write software. So you end up writing the question again. Of course, the very first poster, what do you say? Why don't you use a search, man? Why is that my fault? I don't get it, man. So these are some of the things. It pains me. Like, Jill's like, why can't you get to sleep, honey? I was like, we have the best community in the world, and we're not giving them the best tools, and it's keeping me up at night. It's not quite that bad. It does affect me. And I think forums and mailing lists are just in general not good for user support, right? So let's say I'm going to give you an example that's an analogy, and then I'm going to give you a real Linux question, and then not violently if you agree or raise your hand if you disagree or something. So here's the example question, right? Let's say I want to know where the Eiffel Tower is. Who knows what the Eiffel Tower is? Anyone not know what the Eiffel Tower is? Okay, right. First post, the Eiffel Tower is in London. Assuming I don't know where the Eiffel Tower is, that seems pretty appropriate to me. Next guy, you mean Istanbul. Next guy, no, I'm pretty sure it's in Berlin. Finally, some guy's like, Eiffel Tower is in Berlin. Paris. Right? And then someone marks it soft. Right? Seems innocent. Seems innocent, but think about this from a tech perspective. If we know that the Eiffel Tower is in Paris, when the next guy searches and finds this page, why doesn't it just say this? Why do I need to read that some guy was wrong and, hey, dude, that's wrong, blah, blah, blah. Why don't I get the correct answer? We know what the correct answer is. Somebody did. So here's an example. My wireless doesn't work. This is awesome. First step, some guy, did you try reinstalling? This is my favorite. Like, everyone thinks that you can just reinstall stuff. And, like, this comes from Windows people as well. Like, the software is misconfigured, and they don't know how to reinstall a package. So they'll actually reinstall the dev over again, which actually does nothing, right? Also, uninstalling it doesn't do anything either, because we keep the .dot files in the home directory. But that doesn't matter, unless they know purge. And then by the time they're purging stuff, they're already in trouble, right? Next guy's like, oh, don't worry, dude. I compiled this out-of-date kernel with a whole bunch of security vulnerabilities in it, and then attached it to the forum so that you can do this stuff, right? And then we're like, well, we shouldn't let people do that. So we disallowed posting binary files in the forums. Of course, now they're just Dropbox links, so there's really like nothing you can do there, right? Some guy's always like, use Endis wrapper, which is, right? Finally find the correct answer on page 36. Page 36, finally one guy was like, I figured it out. I did all this stuff. You know, it's always changing a number from like 0 to 1 in Etsy somewhere, right? Think we could figure that out eventually. But too late. Too late. I already followed steps 1, 2, and 3. So a fundamental requirement of a support site, of a resource that the community needs to use. This sounds so simple too. The ability for the community to update and fix content. If you ask on a mailing list, how do I fix this wireless card? And he replies with use Endis wrapper, I cannot get rid of that. It is archived forever on the mailing list or the forum.
Not that I would do that.
Not that he would do that. Just buy a new laptop, man.
Just buy a new laptop.
By the way, something I do, I should probably let you know, I keep a list on Amazon.com of known working wireless cards. So if you ever get stuck in that situation, the Intel card is literally like $7. And sometimes people will come in my group and be like, I have this Broadcom card. And I'm like, nope. Spend the $7. Just spend the $7. Trust me. And if it's an issue, I tell you what, I'll buy the card for you if you never ask me about Broadcom cards ever again. I still think I come out on top. I think I still come out on top. But they're trying. They're getting there. I mean, whatever. The ability to rate content on quality, right? The guy who posts, oh, dude, you should reinstall that stuff. That is like the last thing I want somebody telling a new user or an experienced user. So we need to be able to rate this content. Most importantly, peer review of content, right? This is technical information we're talking about. Even if you're right today, it might be wrong tomorrow, right? So we need the ability to peer review stuff. So no one's videoing this? Okay, good. So about 4 years ago, I was sitting at a Ubuntu Developer Summit, and we were in lovely Belgium or something. And this, I remember this day vividly. I was sitting around, me and General Yama doing whatever my job is. And the kernel manager and like two kernel engineers for the Canonical Ubuntu kernel team walked in with their laptops, very angry. I don't know how many of you guys hang out with kernel people. Very unique personalities, all of them. And they came in with their laptops and were like, we can't figure this out, therefore it's a community problem. Therefore it's your job. I was like, okay. And the first thing out of Pete Grainer's mouth, is there a way we can delete the forums? That was the first thing out of his mouth. Is there a way we can delete the forms? I was like, probably not, but tell me your issue, right? And they had found that for a certain, I forget, I know it wasn't Broadcom, it was kind of the ones in the middle, like a Realtek or a Rowlink or something. There was a bug that made wireless not work, right? And the kernel team fixed it. And they were like, man, this, you know, we now measure like how many bugs are affected by people, we do it all automatically. They're like, man, this is awesome. And they had rolled it out in an update 6 months before. It's like on the point release, so even when people install from the CD, it's like, awesome, finally somebody got it. But when you Googled, how do I get this, you know, wireless card working, they got like a post from the forum from like 2007. They're like, the problem is that all this information actually makes it even worse. But we don't know how to get rid of this. So we did some things. We worked with the forums council. So now in our robots.txt, if something is really old, we tell the Google bot not even to index it on the forums and stuff like that. So we're actively doing that. But I strongly feel that a lot of people have solved this problem in a very, very awesome way. So in 2008, I think, Stack Overflow came around. And it instantly became a hit for allowing what seemed like really simple things. Saying, you know, this guy's answer is better than this guy's answer. That's the community vote, and then the good stuff is on top, and the stuff that's garbage gets buried and eventually deleted. Now it seems really simple, right? I'm giving an entire talk about a site that lets you edit and keep content up to date. It sounds so simple. And they launched a section called Area 51, where they're like, well, Stack Overflow is cool, Super User is cool, Server Fault is cool. We should just let people launch their own stack exchanges, they're called. Someone filed to do an Ubuntu stack exchange. It wasn't called Ask Ubuntu at the time. But so we went through it, and obviously we have a ton of users, and they saw the value immediately. I don't know how many of your developers that depend on Stack Overflow. It's pretty awesome. So we launched it. We call it AskUbuntu.com. So the idea is, it has this really, really crazy idea, is like the ability to fix content, even if you didn't write it. Highlight great things people are doing, bury garbage, and manage and run by the community. So how does it work? How many of you are familiar with how the site works? Okay, about half of you. So I'll get, it's so simple, it almost seems crazy. So what happens is, you post a question, this guy over here, Rocker101, and then people post answers, and then everybody else on the website votes on the quality of the responses, right? Over time, as Rocker101 here, if this was a more complicated question, right, he can edit and improve that question the entire time. And what that means is that every single time he edits it, the question gets better and better and better, which means that the next person who comes to answer this question doesn't have to start from scratch, or even worse, read 75 pages of, you know, hey man, you need to put in LSPCI and, you know, a whole bunch of meta garbage. So, very simple. Someone asks a question, they get an answer. That's basically it. If the user feels that one of the answers is the best, they can click that little green check, which basically means that's an accepted answer. And then the question is then marked answered. Ask Ubuntu and Stack Exchange are very, 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 very specific, right? It's designed to really answer specific questions and get specific answers. So it's not like a forum where you say, hey everybody, what's your favorite text editor? Hey everybody, what's your favorite browser? That's not what the site is about. That's what you post on the forums. So things like development out of Ubuntu, services provided by Ubuntu, real problems that have real answers. We don't really do what are called unicorn questions. Who would win in a fight, a gorilla or a shark? Nobody cares. It's all about solving real, real technical problems that a user runs into. It has tags. This is really good for SEO and for searching and for kind of organizing stuff. And as an expert, you can subscribe to a tag so you would only get questions about that tag. So what I recommend to Ubuntu developers, I tell the Upstart developer, subscribe to the Upstart tag, right? And then they get the tags. It's really good, it's because the questions are voted on by the community. It makes it really easy to answer questions because you can just sort the questions with the ones with the highest votes first, because you know that those have been vetted and they're high quality, right? If someone's asking a really horrible question that, you know, you don't want to waste anybody's time, that's what the voting is there for. And I'll get into that in a little bit. This is a cool thing. You get to earn imaginary internet points when people vote on your posts. Some people think that your reputation on Stack Overflow and Stack Exchanges is directly correlated to the expertise that you have. This is not correct. This number is how much the community trusts you. That means that when you see this number and it's very high, you know that that person has really invested in the site and is really cares about quality answers. And the community has recognized them for that. And you get cool little badges and cute things like that. So the idea is, this is the whole gamification of user support, I think, is an interesting topic because, you know, sometimes I do care when someone upvotes me or downvotes me, right? And if someone downvotes me, I know I need to fix something. And I'll get into that in a minute. The site is also unique that the entire thing is managed by the community. The more reputation you get, that is, the more respect and kudos that you're getting from fellow community members, you get to unlock certain privileges on the site. So right away, you can't edit content on the site. You have to earn that privilege, right? And you earn that by gaining trust from other users. So there's a whole little system there. Some people try to game it. It's very interesting. I find it interesting the protections that they do to stop gaming. So one of the security guys thought it'd be clever. He spun up like 1,000 T1 micros on AWS and tried to like cast votes via the, and like, didn't work. So some people get really hung up on this number, right? They're like, well, like, it's just a made up internet number. Okay, that's good. Best part of the site, improving posts by editing or commenting. So having comments is useful, but on Stack Exchanges, they're considered what we call second-class citizens. That means if someone posts a question, but they're missing crucial information that you need to get out of there, you post it, but you post it as a comment underneath. This allows us to separate the actual content from the posts with what I call meta information. Hey, dude, run an LS PCI. Do you have any idea what kind of, you know, I've asked people in these comments, can you read me the model number that's on the bottom of the laptop? Things like that, right? What's really great is that allows that person to put the content where you care, and then all this meta garbage happens, and after a certain amount of comments, it folds, and it's out of your way, right? In forums and mailing lists, this kind of conversation is cluttered in with the actual troubleshooting and information gathering, which is a bummer. And of course, because it's a modern web app, it has to give you badges, right? So yeah, as you do cool things, you get a badge, and it uses our human need to be recognized. Actually, you get a badge for just reading the documentation, which I think is really slick. Right? There's probably people out there who actually believe in internet points and stuff. They're like, I'm going to get every badge possible.
I love badges.
She loves badges. So that's kind of the how-to. What's really great here is every new user has to see this page before we let them ask a question, which is great. So, and of course, it's all managed and run by the community, right? Our moderators, I think there's 9 of them now, are all run through public elections. Like the site automatically goes into election mode when it figures out that the number of posts versus the, there's some algorithm somewhere. But those are all community elected. You need at least 400 points, I think, to vote in an election. So all that stuff is run by the community. So here's how the site works. I showed you that. Now I'm going to get into actual content. Now, what's really great is even if you don't use Ask Ubuntu or Stack Overflow, I'm just going to go over some great tips. And then if you have some, raise your hand. We can share. We can talk about it. We can make this interactive. So it's not just me talking to myself all the time. That'd be awesome. So I know what you're thinking. Oh, I know. I'll tell people to read Eric Raymond's How to Ask a Smart Question. Who here has read that document or has told someone to go read it? I love this document because it calls users idiots within the first 3 sentences and is very condescending. I do not like it. I do not like it. I think in 2013, we could do a better job by collaborating as a community to help people get their computers to work. So, good stuff in there. I just don't like the app, but whatever. Users do this all the time. The question should be a question, right? So usually I see titles like this. A question about Firefox, and then you read the guy's post, and then at the very bottom, does anybody know how to bookmark a page in Firefox? Dude, why did you just put that in the title? Issues with Libre, these have all been real topics that don't really tell me much. My favorite is Ubuntu 13.04 wireless. I don't even know what that means.
Is there a problem?
It's like, what's the question? Ubuntu 13.04 wireless. I don't know. But it's okay. Normally when people would post things like this, on your mailing list or in forums, everyone makes fun of them, and you suck, and, you know. And then finally, someone figures out what the issue is, but you're stuck. The title is forever, Ubuntu 13.04 wireless. You're like, man. So, this is my favorite, garbage in, garbage out. Oh, you asked a question with no real information. Let me just read your mind. This is my favorite thing, and like, you know you still do it, even though, like, you're trying to be nice. Someone just asks you a question with absolutely zero information. So what do? We're experts. We've got to get it out of them somehow. A good question is easy to find. Notice how this question actually ends with a question mark, which I'm finding, because these days it's difficult. I don't know if just tech speak or the internet in general is making us worse writers, or it's the downfall of humanity. I don't know what the answer is. Check out what this guy did when he asked this question. Very detailed. He kind of shows what he was done, right? He talks about preload and swappiness, and if you understand what these terms are, you can see that this person has actually put some effort into the question, right? The question has an answer. How can I improve overall system performance? So this is really good. This is one of the highest voted questions. See, it has 172 upvotes. 125 people have favorited this question, which means they'll get updates when the question is updated. That's what that little star is on the left. And of course, in the comments, people misusing the comments to tell the guy how great he is. Whatever. We still like to have a good time. But see how this is separated from the content? Very important.
I actually read that question like a week ago.
Uh-huh.
I used Ubuntu.
Uh-huh.
And I guess one thing that would be helpful, preload doesn't work with, it's not applicable for the LXD.
Mm.
So it would be helpful if a lot of times when I read problems on a different distro, it doesn't.
Sure. A great question to that would be, how do I improve performance in Lubuntu? And then what you would do is, the community is over time, we would add links to this question.
Yeah.
Right, that says, hey, if you're using Lubuntu, go here. But I can get into cross-linking in a minute. A better title means people will read your question. So, I'm not in the head of the guy who asked Ubuntu 13.04 wireless, right? But what I tell people is, your title of your question, you should be selling that like you're selling selling cookies at a bake sale, right? You want people to click through and read your question. The best way you can do that is to have a clear and concise title. At first, I didn't really understand. I was like, why are people making these horrible titles? And at first I was, well, a lot of our users don't speak English. Clearly it has something to do with that. Ends up like the Americans are way worse. I don't know what it is about the internet, like where we totally forgot how to write. You know, it's always like backwards. I don't know. So, example questions that I did before, right? This tells you exactly what this is, right? Now, what's really great is when you see this question and you're in your I'm gonna help somebody today mode, you know exactly what that question is about. How do I bookmark a page in Firefox? Not Firefox issue. How do I add a bullet in LibreOffice? How do I get a Broadcom BCN4311 wireless card working? One of my favorite questions. Not really. So what's really great about these two is, you know, this really helps people find the things that they need when you're more detailed. Your question bodies. So this is something the site does, and when I saw this feature, I automatically knew that that Stack Overflow and Stack Exchange, the guys who are building this, are incredibly smart. As you are asking your question and you are pasting in technical data, the site in the background is doing a search. And as you are typing, on the sidebar, it gives you related questions. I've actually started, oh man, I don't know how to do this. I go and I start it, and as I type in the question, this thing on the side is giving me real time, and, oh wait, someone's already asked that. Click through, and I didn't even have to ask the question. Someone already figured it out. As you are typing the question, this is awesome. To me, that's like a game changer. So, you know, people have said this when we've talked about the site, you know, if we can make it so the user doesn't even have to ask a question and we can just point them to the right information, that's a win, right? So I think that's really great. Something users love to do, I am sorry this question is so simple, or I'm sorry I'm a new Ubuntu user, or, you know, I tried but I couldn't find anything, please help. The reason I think users put that in there is because the old Usenet mentality of flaming people for asking dumb questions is so ingrained in our minds that users are just used to apologizing for not understanding something. That hurts me as a human being, dude. So usually when I see that, I mean, don't apologize. Dude, you're trying to figure out Linux. This is complicated. So I usually just edit that out and say, man, you don't need to apologize. Let's just get to your question. And then, you know what? Even simple questions need answers. And like I mentioned before, sometimes people get really defensive. Well, you know, that guy just should have done a Google search to figure out, you know, this or whatever. And it's like, well, did you actually do a Google search and see what gets returned? If that answer is garbage, then we can do a better job. So let's do a better job. And the question is, questions users always don't give us enough details, right? And this is probably the hardest problem to solve in all of user support. User doesn't know what information to give you, right? The reason they write questions like my wireless doesn't work, they might not even know that there's such things as different wireless card manufacturers. Some of them who like us a lot, some of us who hate us, right? They're used to just having a computer that, you know, works, right? Exactly. So a lot of this is challenging for us. We have to learn how to talk to them so you can help them, right? So I usually start talking like, help me help you, you hit Control-Alt-T, you're going to see a scary black box. Actually, it's purple now, we color it. Yay. And you're going to paste this command in there, and then you're going to take that and you're going to put that back in your question. And then close that scary black box. And if I'm doing my job, you'll hopefully never have to open that scary black box again. I'm making fun of the terminal there. Usually by now, someone's like, screw you, Kessler, the terminal's awesome. But yeah, so it's really up to us to kind of, and this is hard. This is a skill that takes practice, right? Sometimes I was at a LUG meeting and someone was like, hey, I can't get this. I was like, hey, is that a Dell XPS 13? I know exactly what your problem is. He was like, how'd you know? I was like, I just know. I didn't even know how I knew that. Probably because I've been fixing so many of them, but hey, whatever. And sometimes users give you too much detail. This is my favorite. You're like, hey, I kind of need a log, look for it in here. And then they paste like 75 pages of syslog, right, when all you really need is the model number of the card. But that's okay, because remember, we can edit and fix anything. So I spend a lot of time going through these logs and say, this guy needs his wireless fix, cut this out, bam, there's a model number. And paste bins are really useful. That's where you can, if something's really complicated, you don't want all that information all up in your face. So, I mean, anyone not familiar with what a paste bin is? Okay, so it's a website where you paste a whole bunch of text, and then it gives you a URL, and then you put that in your question. That way you don't have a huge, it's like attaching logs. So those are really useful. Ubuntu provides a paste bin. It's pastebin.ubuntu.com, and there's a whole bunch of them all over the place. So paste bins are really great. Not just for everything, just a useful tool. So, how to edit. So you've asked your question, how do I fix my wireless card? Now we're going to improve our question. Every edit that you do to a question, or answer actually, bumps the entire question. What's really handy about this is that as you are improving things, it goes to the top of the site, which means by the time an expert gets around to it, all the little minutia about getting the information and all that stuff, so by the time I get to it, hopefully, you know, it'll give you a better chance of getting your question answered if you've added more detail. This is my favorite. Users do this all the time, right? They'll ask a question. They'll say, how do I add bullets in LibreOffice? And then they post their question, and at the bottom say, update. Actually, I figured that out. does anybody know how to blah, 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 and then a totally different question. It's like, man, dude, why don't you just change the title of the question to what you want it to be? I don't get it. But we do this all the time, right? And you see this in forum posts. This is like the best, right? It's like the old content at the bottom. Update. Actually, none of this garbage works anymore. Sorry. What? That sucks. So it's in a wiki in this respect, right? What if you went to Wikipedia page for the Eiffel Tower and it says, the Eiffel Tower is in London, and then it's crossed out and it says, update, the Eiffel Tower is in Paris. You're like, dude, why don't they just say the Eiffel Tower is in Paris? Why do they keep all this garbage around? Wikipedia doesn't do it. Why did we do it? I don't know. It's crazy. What's really important here is the next expert doesn't have to go through all the pages and pages of garbage to help you. It gives you a better chance of getting your question answered if you keep improving it over time. That means if you post your question and then he says, hey man, I need the information on your wireless card, you add that information. By the time I get to the question, I don't have to tell you, hey man, I need the model of your wireless card again. It's already there. So, and a good editor is a Robin to your Batman, because more invested users actually have the capability to edit stuff. They have the ability to do really wonderful things, like turn garbage into gold, right? Sometimes people post the worst possible, no capitals, text speak, just, you know, and, you know, randomly inserting rants because they're frustrated. I get that, right? But here's a community member who took this guy's mess and made it into something better, right? That means when this question gets bumped, he has a better chance of getting his question answered. Don't be discouraged if you go on the site and you see something with a downvote. All the downvote does basically is say, this question needs to be improved. What that does is, me, if I'm reading through a question and I see something downvoted, I know that question is not yet ready for me to answer. I tend to look for unanswered questions that don't have answers, but have a relatively high score, because I know the community has been massaging them and the poster has been slowly improving them. That gives me a chance to answer the question with, you know, doing the least amount of research possible, because that's what I want to do. This is something new users, I think, if there's like one thing I could tell new users is this. Sometimes they'll search for things. I mean, they're not dumb people. They just don't know how to use Ubuntu, right? They'll search for things, but they don't understand it, right? What I tell people is post your question and then start looking at things that you're, even if you don't understand it, because maybe there might be information at the other side of that link that an experienced user could use, right? My wireless doesn't work on this Dell XPS, but then it links to some random obscure stuff. I can go look and say, okay, that laptop shipped with that card. Okay, so I can take this, update, and then post the answer, right? So do encourage users, like a lot of them are like, I keep looking and I'm not finding anything, but they don't tell you what they've been looking at, and that gets frustrating when trying to answer stuff. Like, dude, I give you a canvas, put stuff on it. I'm willing to do the work. You just gotta shove as much information in there as you can. And share your question via social networks. It's frustrating to me when users do not take advantage of our network effect, right? So the Facebook page for Ubuntu has like 90 billion people in it or some crazy number, right? Our community on Google Plus has over 100,000 people looking at it every single day. So when I ask a question on Ask Ubuntu, there's a little share button at the bottom. And I click, I share the hell out of it with my entire network. Why? Because I know the more spread I get, the better chance I have a chance of getting my question answered. It's also good because as I improve that question, by the time someone reads that page and gets to it, I've already improved the question and gotten feedback from the community on how to make the question better. It gives me a better chance of answering my question. What's also really great is when you do things like that, other Ubuntu users will see this, right? Sometimes I'll see a question, I follow the Twitter thing for Ask Ubuntu, and I see a really hard question that a user's answered, and I know the person who can answer that question. But the fact that the user took the time to tweet, it puts it on my radar, and that allows me to go to the developer and be like, man, this guy asked a great question, I know you can answer it, and they do. So that's really great. So leverage the size of the Ubuntu community to your advantage. Some people have figured it out, but what they do is like, hey, I posted this question on Ask Ubuntu. But nobody answered it, so I'm going to post it again on the forums, Reddit, and the mailing list. Like, man, just link to the one question and keep improving that one. Now you've got five separate questions being solved at different levels by other people. Put it in one place. So that's my advice on there. No question is ever correct the first time. It saddens me sometimes how people, they'll post a question and then they'll bail. I've posted lots of questions all the time, and over time, as I'm doing my research, I tend to keep my question updated. This is useful for you because, A, every time you do an edit, the question bumps to the top of the site, which means a whole new set of eyeballs are looking at it. Ask Ubuntu gets 7.5 million uniques a month. So the more your question is on the front page, the better off you are. And no question is ever correct. Sometimes I ask a question and I was like, man, actually that was kind of stupid. Okay, this is what I really meant to ask. Okay, open a new tab, I go into Google. All right, here's what I found out about this question. A, this out of date page on some blog. I tried the man page, does not exist. I actually found one of those weird Debian policy man page, you know, whatever. Just keep the thing up to date. And the community will actually help you to find the information you need to add. Usually when if you see somebody say, hey, you know, Ubuntu Wireless 13.04, and they haven't given the information, there's usually a comment almost within the first minute. Hey, dude, check out this question. This question will show you how to get all the information we need. Put that in your question, and then we'll take it from there. It doesn't even need to be perfect. You can get the formatting wrong, you can do whatever. By the time I get to the question, as long as the information's in there, I'll help you put it together. Just don't bail on me. Number one mistake users make is they give up on their question. I posted it there, 30 minutes later, no one responded. It's now off the front page. I give up. Don't give up on your question, keep improving it. Even if you're flailing, there have been edits that it's like, okay, this is the last edit I will be making because I am really at a loss. Right? And you know what, people, we're human beings. I see a guy like that, I say, okay, you know what, I'm going to put a bounty on this question for you. Give up some of my reputation to get your stuff right. Right? If I see a user putting a lot of effort in the question, other people in the community will help you. You just got to stick through. I know it sucks, especially with wireless cards. Is your question a duplicate? I already tried that. Like, I get this, it's like, hey man, actually, this is what you want to do. And the guy's like, well, I already tried that. I was like, man, why didn't you tell me that? In the first place, could have saved us a little time here. And actually, we love duplicates. The more duplicates a question has on the site, it strengthens the search, and those duplicates as a signpost. So when someone Googles for something, all those duplicates end up being auto-forwarded to the master canonical question, we call it. So we actually love duplicates. You don't have to apologize. I'm sorry if this question's been asked before. Don't apologize. I'm running out of time. How to answer questions. The good answers always go to the top. Good answers tend to have screenshots. Good answers tend to do this crazy thing called referencing official documentation. Who knew? Good answers are really easy to read. They're not too long, but they're not too short. They explain what they do, right? I think all of you have asked someone a question and received a really good answer. When you get, it feels so good to see something like this. And I always love rewarding people who put screenshots in their answers. Horrible answers get buried, and at a certain minus level, they automatically get deleted. Seriously, this is an actual answer to how to improve system performance. Buy a new computer. Seriously? Come on. I think it's funny. But yeah, I don't want someone telling my mom that. Sorry, buy a new computer. So this is just in general, right? I always want to use references. We want more science than opinion, right? Someone says, don't buy a Broadcom wireless card because they suck and Broadcom hates you. That's an opinion, right? Don't buy a Broadcom card because of science, and then you link to things that support your argument. That's more science than opinion. I'm picking on Broadcom here, but it could be anything. But probably Broadcom. Sometimes people think they're helping somebody out. Oh, dude, I found the answer. And then they link to like some crapware blog that, like, you know, you click through and Firefox is like, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong with the certificate here. You're like, seriously, don't send people to garbage. We're here to fix garbage. So don't send them. No answer also stands the test of time. Keep it up to date. The community will help you keep it up to date. And a picture tells a thousand words. Here's the best answer, my favorite answer on the entire site. How do I move an icon on the launcher? The text actually says, click and hold, and then drag and drop. This guy, all he had to do was make an animated GIF. And I love this answer. It's so simple, right? I love that answer. Explain what you mean from the expert. We suck as Unix people. We just suck at this in general. I need to solve a problem. Here's a long sed command with a regular expression, right? This is an okay answer. It probably solves the guy's problem, right? But a great answer would explain exactly what all that means. And look, someone in the community was like, man, this would be so awesome if you were to actually expand on this. Like I said, here's another. Nothing against thesourcegeek.com, but you know, I can't fix and update content on a random blog, but I can on a community. Not an Ubuntu expert? You don't even have to be an Ubuntu expert. This is my favorite. After you get some reputation, you can vote, right? And you could see answers that are really easy to use or read and understand, and you can vote that up. You can vote up good questions. Vote down bad things. And also fix content, even if it's just fixing spelling and grammar. My favorite thing to do, best bang for the buck, add screenshots to answers. And of course, if you're confused at any time, you go to meta-ask.ubuntu.com, where that's where like we kind of talk about how the site runs and how we can help you. I spend the majority of my time on Ask Ubuntu not answering questions, but just editing and helping people out with their existing questions and their existing answers. I learn something new every day. You would be surprised how much fixing people's formatting about a certain topic, things will start to click. And then at some point it's like, hey, I've seen this before. Oh, I remember, this is over here. And then you'll find yourself getting smarter. Any post on the website, you can click on this. Improve this question or improve this answer. And what happens is, unlike a wiki, that it just accepts anybody's edit, these get put into a little review queue here, where advanced users like myself spend a lot of time in this review queue, ensuring that the information is correct and up to date. What is awesome is when hundreds and thousands of people do this, all of our content is continuously being improved all the time. The community is just doing an amazing job building content that is fresh and up to date. So in conclusion, dive in, it's really easy to get started. If you're confused, you're just gonna ask me. It's a really great way to help contribute to Ubuntu, especially if you're not technically inclined, right? Just the matter of voting helps sort the content. Just by voting is a contribution. If you see something wrong, it's busted on the internet, fix it. A lot of places, a lot of tools that people use don't let you do that. This one does. So it's a really good way to get started. Like I said, it feels really, really good when I see the queue. Let's see if there's nothing as a community manager guy. Oh, there isn't one. Nothing feels good than seeing a little flag that says, ooh, a user has contributed something, and I get to peer review it and say, looks good. Great job, other guy on the internet. So that feels really good. I love it when people help other people. And the one thing I want you to leave this talk with is a community generating really, really great stuff that you review with your peers and constantly improve. You're basically unstoppable. You can just make really, really awesome stuff. I'm doing a talk tomorrow about Juju. It's our cloud orchestration software. It's one of the coolest things I've ever worked on. So this is just a little commercial for my talk tomorrow. It should hopefully be way better than this talk. Thanks. I've got like 10 minutes for questions. This is the site. Not everyone uses Ubuntu, I know. No one's perfect. But there is a Unix.StackExchange that does support people who are using Mint or Red Hat or Fedora. Exact same software, but specifically for non-Ubuntu stuff. And you can ask Ubuntu questions on there as well, too, if that. And there's tons of stack exchanges everywhere. I'm on like the home improvement one. Sci-fi stack exchange, I think, is awesome. Right? There's like a question like, why do Worf's ridges change in every season of the next generation in Star Trek? I'm like, man, it's really important. We should talk about it. And here's my email. I actually have an extra.com on there. Sorry about that. But georgiathej@bluechew.com, and that's my Twitter. Do you have any questions or any feedback? As you guys have using the site, do you hate it? Do you love it? Or
yeah. A really quick thanks. Half of my points come from edits you've made to answers.
Oh, okay, awesome.
And if you haven't gone back and listened to the Stack Overflow podcasts mm-hmm. from number one, it is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
The technical and the human engineering that went into, and that's why it is what it is.
Yeah, I was real fortunate. I think 2 months ago I was on the Stack Exchange podcast talking about the site. And the thing is, Stack Exchanges are different from any other user support research tool in like two things. Peer review and editing. That's like it. But think about what that does to the entire dynamic of being able to do user support. Which is really good. Brilliant guys. From an Ubuntu perspective, I love it that there's a dedicated team of people who are solving how to answer questions on the internet. Because that allows us to concentrate on what we do best, making an operating system, but leveraging their amazing tool to help our users, and that's really great.
I think it said something about Ubuntu, too, the way it exploded on the Stack Exchange.
Yeah, we're now number three, so the top is Stack Overflow by a mile. Gets millions and millions of views a day. Then Super User. There's a Stack Exchange called superuser.com. If you have a Windows friend, their Windows support there is top notch. And then we started off at the bottom when we were new. And in less than 3 years, we became number three. When we do an Ubuntu release and the site is really hopping, we'll pass Super User. We'll get really close to Super User. We finally passed Server Fault and stayed past them, but the site, the traffic graph is literally like a J-curve. It's amazing. Any other questions or comments? Yeah.
If you're searching for an answer to a question,
mm-hmm.
I have a question, I'm hitting it, ask it one, two, I'm trying to find something. How do I figure out that I only see posts that have answers?
Oh, okay, so that's actually in the search. He's asking, how do I see posts that only have answers? So in your search here, you can say, I actually forgot, hold on, but I know where to find it. Answers zero? So answers one, I think it is. Yeah, these are the only ones with answers. So when you do a search, there's this thing over here, about search tips, click on that, and that will tell you all the things you do, all the arguments that you can put in the search engine. Has an accepted answer, yes or no, that's the one you want right there. Which ones do have answers, so at least one answer, one, you know, you can do that. Ones I tend to use a lot is, let's see, which ones do I use? I tend to use tag a lot. I use views a lot, surprisingly, because sometimes there is duplicate content, there's just nothing you can do, right? But if I'm searching for something and I see three questions and one has 1.7 million views, I can be reasonably confident that the community has really scrubbed that question very well. Here's another little tip. People love to ask me, what's the best thing I can do to learn Ubuntu and Linux quickly? So if you go to askubuntu.com/greatest-hits, this is an auto-generated list of our top 1,000 questions sorted by quality. This is awesome. So someone's like, hey, I'm just getting started in Linux and Ubuntu. How did I learn all this stuff? I was like, you don't have to do it the hard way like I did. Go here, start top to bottom. Everything from, there's our famous Broadcom wireless card. Let me show you what an amazing job this community member has done. So over time, people would ask about Broadcom wireless cards and they kept getting duped, and then someone was like, you know, I've had enough, right? And then they created this kind of information. So look at this one. So this was my favorite. This one actually has less votes than this one. Good. Hopefully it's getting easier. This is not easy at all. I hate it. But still, look at the amount of effort that this dude put into this. He gives you step. Okay, so type this, click this, do this. Look at this. This is better than our official documentation. You know. I hang out with Sean McCants. He's the GNOME documentation guy. He's like, I don't know why I write documentation. I don't, you know, nobody ever reads it and stuff. People just search whatever into Google. And then I have a friend, Dustin Kirkland, who wrote Biobu, which is like an easy front end for TMUX. He's like, man, when he discovered Stack Overflow, he's like, I don't even know why I'm writing man pages anymore. I think I might just answer all the questions on Stack Overflow. I was like, don't do that, man. don't be the guy. So yeah, a lot of people just say, man, I'm having a problem. It's faster for me to go to Google and search than it is to open up the system documentation, which is F1, by the way, you know, on your computer, and then like navigate to section about this to do that. Man, just Google, do tell me what my problem is. Right, and look at this. Look at the amount of effort this must have taken. My God, Lewis, you need to get out more. but man, I mean, this guy is obviously passionate about Ubuntu, right? And this like really motivates me. You look at the amount of effort. If you give users good tools, they will make amazing stuff. It's so simple. You give someone some good tools and they make amazing things. So I'm really proud of what the community has really built here. So any other questions?
Hey George, can you search against user 139532 just to show what user number 139532.
Do you know the name? I can search on name.
Stephen dash M-I-C-H-A-E-L dash Kellett, K-E-L-L-H.
With a P?
Yeah.
Stephen
dash.
Dash.
God, I'm looking at my username.
What?
I'm looking at my username. I'm logged in.
Oh, okay. What's your user number? I can figure out. Look, I'm user number 235. That shows you how much time I've put into this.
139532.
People on the site make fun of me too. Look, this is the amount of time I've spent on Ubuntu. 1109 days. You get a badge if you go to the site 100 days in a row. And I remember our honeymoon was like getting close. I was like, man, how am I gonna get this badge, right? Because I don't want to start over. I got the badge.
And you're married.
And she got to be on Facebook. So, yeah. Okay. That's you then?
That should be. Wish I had a picture. But there's some answers I've actually given, like Munchie went to the Raspberry Pi. There we go. Like, yeah, you can't.
That is how you write a question. Yeah. Yeah. This is what I do. The general thing is like, what are you doing? This is what I'm doing. Right? Let's just look at some of the examples here. All right.
Yeah.
So this one's okay. All right. I just installed 13.4 and confused by the security passphrase encryption options. Okay, that one's going to take it. I can go back to that one. Can I run Ubuntu Studio on a server, or must I only run Ubuntu server? That sounds like a good question. Does anyone know a voice changer that I can use with Skype? That guy's a creep.
yeah. But he has an answer.
Yeah, he has an answer. I'm not clicking through.
There's a bigger creep.
Yeah. Right. This is awesome here. The login panel freezes, unable to change wallpaper, as shown in the pic. And then, watch.
Don't look.
Check this out. This is awesome, right? So I'm gonna take his pic that he hosted on some shady image thing. Right, and then I'm gonna inline it right here. Let's hope this is not porn. That's not porn, that's not porn. Who can figure out how to title this question? Seriously.
Okay.
The login panel freezes, unable to change wallpaper.
I don't even know this.
Anybody.
How do I adjust?
Oh, so look what's going on here.
Yeah.
That's LightVM. And his dock is running before he even logs in.
He's got a panel up, too.
Well, it looks like he went to log in, and then the username and password box just didn't go away.
Okay.
So,
That's interesting.
So
how would you title this question?
Login prompt remains displayed after login.
Way better than before. I saw, man, that's going to be a hard one.
Yeah.
But you know what? He took the time to take a picture, even though this is horrible, and he was probably going to bail on me. So I'll get
A for effort.
A for effort. What? Oh, hold on. There's gotta be better ones in here. Help! Colon! Add network drive duplex on Ubuntu 13.04.
How do I add a network drive to Plex?
You don't even need to do the on Ubuntu 12.04. That's my favorite thing. People always ask questions. How do I do this on Ubuntu? Of course you're using Ubuntu. You don't have to tell me that. You posted on askubuntu.com. I thought you were going to ask to do that in Windows.
Well,
saying 13.04 can be helpful.
So what you do there is, if you need a version, we have version tags.
Oh, okay.
That way you can say, right, that way you can say, I want to see everything that affects me on 13.04, you can click on
this. His first post. Yeah. If so...
It is his first post, so let's fix this. Who's this guy? Let's give him a shout out, Joe something, hold on. Don't need this, but it might be relevant, so... Look at that. Look what I can do. Oh, he's got one of those My Book Lives. Sorry. I've had like four of those die. This is what I do. See, you didn't really have to be an expert to fix a question. Right? Configuration options while app get installing. I don't even know what that means.
Wow.
Here's a good one right here. PPTP VPN problem.
Ooh.
Right? But you can really tell them what, you can tell the well-written questions, right? They tend to have the green shows that it's been answered. Right? They tend to have green boxes on them. Right? So this guy got an answer to that weird title, this apt-get installing one, right? But for the sake of the next person, I'll probably go back and make that easier to read here. Yeah, apt-get installing is now a verb.
Yeah.
I've done it. So, yeah, that's that. I am here all weekend. Like I said, my talk is tomorrow at some point about Juju. I am on my way to the airport to pick up General Bacon. He's going to be having a Ubuntu touch on his phone and hopefully a tablet. I went to bring mine, but my hardware died. How many of you guys have been messing around with the phone?
Initial release,
it like couldn't make phone call. I remember the day it could make a phone call, right?
Like,
we set up his mail to the mainland.
It was really
Ubuntu
cool.
Phone can now make calls. It's like, wow, that's really important. So,
actually, when you guys announced that, Carl ran out and bought 3 Nexus 4s for the business.
Yeah. So what I'm gonna do next is they're gonna announce the Nexus 5 soon, as you can tell. I'm going to get that, and then I'm going to put Ubuntu touch on my existing Nexus 4. So, look at all these people earning that. Look at all these people doing a great job. I don't even know who they are. Isn't that great? You even get, this is one of my favorite badges.
You're on there.
Tumbleweed?
No.
I don't have a tumbleweed.
Notable question.
Oh, yeah. You get, see, it tells you when you get badges. Hold on, let me show you. It tells you when you earn a badge. It makes you feel really good. But since we're talking about badges, let me just talk about Tumbleweed right here. So this is a something that I tell people, actually, is a good place for you to start if you're an advanced user and you want to find users who really, really need a bunch of help. So a Tumbleweed is a question that got no votes from anybody, no answers, no comments, and barely anybody clicked through. It's basically the worst of the worst. So the site's like, man, that sucks. Here's a badge.
Here's a consolation prize.
Right, but these are actually really good, right? If something I like to do is go on Tumbleweed, right, and it'll show you all the questions that are Tumbleweed. These are all people who need help right here, right? With questions like pointing stick is not working after fresh upgrade, how to set up dual monitors on Ubuntu Studio. How much you guys want to bet that question has been asked before? It has, probably. So these right here, these are the people that need the help the most. So I encourage you to look at Tumbleweed. Usually a question is a Tumbleweed, not because we don't care, but it's probably written poorly or doesn't have enough information, or you happen to post in the in the one time I'm not looking at the front page, stuff like that.
If you live in Australia.
Yeah, if you live in Australia or the Europeans have gone to sleep, who knows why people get tumbleweeds. What I try to tell, and this like tells them, hey man, sorry, here's your bad, you got a tumbleweed, but we recommend that you, and then it tells them to improve their questions and everything I told you in this talk, and they either do that or they bail, which sucks, but remember, I only have to help, right? We only need to figure out how to mount an old encrypted home directory once for everybody, right? So it's okay if they bail, as long as generally we're getting most of them right over time. We'll fix that up. So I've gone over, sorry.
It's all good.
Are you doing your write-up? And then you guys, we'll do the wrap-up and then take a group picture. You guys want to do that? Because I'm wearing a really obnoxious hat. I want to get a picture. So thank you very much, and thanks for coming.
Okay, folks. Well.